Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Appreciate that so very much. Don Becker is so happy that you're back. My goodness gracious. He was about ready to change churches if you wasn't going to be back. No, he wasn't. Okay, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, a fantastic verse tonight. Another one. You're right, another one. All right. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer, and our prayers, pray for Tish. I don't know why she's not here, but we'll pray for Tish, her problem, and we'll pray for Harold. We'll pray for Hess and his family, the whole family. Need our prayers, people, and let's see, pray for the gentleman that Anel brought up Sunday. Leon, yes. And so we need to be in prayer for Leon. Let's see, any other prayer requests? Vic would like us to pray for Cindy. Okay, let's be in prayer for Cindy Edwards, Vic Edwards' wife, and they live in Wichita Falls, but they listen to every class. He's right up with us, so we need to be in prayer for Cindy. Let's see. It seemed like there was somebody else, but I can't remember. Brian Wise. Need to be in prayer for Brian Wise. Harold Lyland. Let's be in prayer for Sharon. Every now and then we bring her up. She's just going down fast with cancer. So we need to be in prayer for Sharon, that God's will be done as far as her being left here and whatever he's doing there. Yes. Thanksgiving, good. I like those. Oh, wow, great. Oh, wow. Not even a hurt finger. Oh, man. No war stories. Okay. Very good. I love to give thanks to God for answered prayer. That's really good. Yeah. Fort Hood. Okay. Yeah. Fort Hood isn't fun, but it's not as bad as Fort Polk. There's nowhere as bad as Fort Polk. That's where Satan goes for summer vacation. Man, that's the pits. Yes, Fort Polk, Louisiana, right near the Texas border, and it's nothing but rock. And so if they want to make a mud hole for you to crawl in, they got to make it, because there's no mud hole there. It's rock. All right, well, let's remember these in prayer. And let's be in prayer for Brian Wise and his family. And let's see. Be in prayer for Herman and his new marriage. And be in prayer for Mrs. Maddox. Oh, I knew it was one of the Maddoxes needing prayer. No. The laughter is sort of a fearing laughter. Okay, no, we're doing real well. And so, okay, we're moving her stuff over, and my stuff out, and we're just having a good old time. And, so, okay, in fact, we had 8 working personnel today over there, right? 8? Well, 17 with everybody, but 8 working. Okay, well, 9 working. You told me, I had to count you now, 9 working. Yes, I was in my studs. That's 10 working. There we are. In fact, she says, why don't you go study? while I'm in this room, you go study. And don't you come out. Till I come get you. Okay. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Wow, Father, we just thank you so much for the God you are. Last night, Father, we saw how faithful you are in telling us not only about what's going to happen, but you've given us the details of the movement of the troops and the campaign and how all these things are going to come together and who all the personnel are. And it's just an awesome God, Father, that we can just rest in peace in who and what you are. And now, Heavenly Father, we come to Jesus Christ departing from the earth to go and be face to face with you at your right hand, and things that he's doing for the disciples, indeed for all of the church. So, Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see, the passage below. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, verse 27. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Okay, just notice a few things about it. He leaves this peace with us. He gives this peace to us. And you have the word give 1, 2, 3 times in the one verse. It's the same verb. And you have a contrast between his leaving it and the world. And it's to us. So, and you have two more works of the Holy Spirit, as we're going to see in us. We spend some time on how he teaches us all things from the 1 Corinthians passage. But here it's peace that he's going to give us. We'll find out. Now, you'd be surprised, at least I was, that the number of, and I'm not, I don't know about all teachers and all that, but I have a handful of what I feel are very knowledgeable men in the languages and all, and none of them saw it, what this verse is saying. Not a one. And one even emphasized context, but he missed it. But we have to ask ourselves, what is the peace that he leaves? And how does he leave it, and how does he give it? Why does he use leave and give? And so we have a lot of things we want to look at here. Now, the key to understanding verse 27, the key is verses 25 and 26. They explain what's going on in the passage, in context, context. So let's just look at 25 and 26. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, and we've taken that as Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So it's all these verses he's been talking about the Holy Spirit. Then so he says, I'm sending the Holy Spirit, therefore peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. All right, let's look at peace. Now, last week we finished up by just noting the various types of peace in the Bible, but let's get to work on the passage now. Peace. How do we know which category of peace Jesus Christ is talking about? Example. Is he talking about a peaceful life? Is he talking about a life free of turmoil and no troubles? Is he talking about world peace? Is he talking about peace established at the cross between the whole world and God? So which category of peace is he talking about? And the context, again, is verses 25 and 26. All right, peace I leave with you. All right, this is the present active indicative of aphiemi. And let's take a look, because this is just going to be so beautiful what we have going on in this passage. All right, this is aphiemi, aphiemi. Okay, aphiemi, this word helps to understand what Jesus Christ is talking about, helps to understand the peace that he's talking about. This word means, now watch this, this word means to sand. This word means to send forth, to let go from oneself. It means to leave. So it can mean to send forth, or it can mean to leave. Okay, now let's take that. Why does Jesus Christ say, "This peace I leave you"? When you leave something, you're going away. Think about the flow of this passage. He's going away. That's why he says it. He is going to leave. He just told them he's going away, but he is not going to leave them as orphans. He was going to leave them the Holy Spirit. He is going to leave them with power. That is exactly what Jesus Christ is doing in this verse now. He is going away, and he is going to leave something behind. Now, he is leaving behind this peace, but the source of the peace is what is at issue. He is leaving behind the source of this peace. That's what he's been talking about, that he's going to send, that God the Father is going to send, that he's going to leave, is the Holy Spirit. So this is the Holy Spirit as the source of this peace. He is going to leave them the Holy Spirit. This is exactly what Jesus Christ is doing in this verse. He is going away. He is going to leave them the Holy Spirit, who is this peace. Next we have a very interesting phrase. My peace I give to you. All right, my peace. First of all, he leaves it. Peace I leave with you. Now he says, my peace I give to you. Peace I leave with you. Now peace I give to you. First he identifies the peace as his peace. We are told to love as he loved in John 13. It's been a while since we looked at it. Look at John 13, 34. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So we're to love with his love. Here we're to have his peace. So the question arises, how can we love as he loved? How do we have the peace that he had? Next, he leaves this peace with them. Here he gives this peace. My peace, personal. Peace I leave with you, Holy Spirit. My peace I give to you. All right, what do we have? This is the humanity of Jesus Christ. This is the peace of the humanity of Jesus Christ. This is his peace in his humanity. Question, where did his humanity get this peace? Well, from the Father, Holy Spirit, just like the love. We love with his love. That's the love of the Holy Spirit. His peace is the peace that he had while he was here on earth in his humanity. It's a peace from the Holy Spirit. So this is his peace. And this is his peace. This is the peace given to him by the Holy Spirit. This is why he can send forth so as to leave his Spirit, because the word also means to send. He can send forth so as to leave his Spirit, and we can actually experience, this is phenomenal, people, we can actually experience the same peace that Jesus Christ experienced. Going up to the cross, all the false trials, all the beatings, and then the crucifixion. He had peace. We can have that same peace. It's just boggling to the mind if we think about it, that we can actually have that same peace. People, it is boggling to the mind that we can love as he loved. Just as he loved, we can do that. This is just, I don't think people grasp the depth of what we're talking about here. We can love just as he loved, which took him to the cross. We can have the peace that he had while he went to the cross. My peace I give. Okay, this time we have the present active indicative of didomi. D-I-D long O-M-I. Didomi. Okay. Here, people, is his grace. Here's his grace. I graciously give. I graciously give to you for your advantage. For your advantage in your life, in your Christian life, when I'm gone. when I'm gone. Now, another reason to know this is inner peace is that he relates this peace with peace in the soul. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Okay, people, we know this is not talking about the peace established at the cross, breaking down a barrier. This is not that peace. This is a peace dealing with our daily life, daily turmoil, daily trouble. So this is the peace that he's talking about. Note where we trouble. We trouble in the heart, the soul, the real you. This is how this chapter began, with the words, "Let not your heart be troubled." And this is and then what he did after he said that, what did he do? He gave them pertinent doctrine, pertinent information. But now, he gives those words, "Let not your heart be troubled," but now he's going to give them the power to have this peace. Going to give them the power. First came the new commandment, love one another as I love. Impossible to do. Then he gave the power, the Holy Spirit. Give us this love. First of all, he tells them, let not your heart be troubled, and I'm going to give you some truth. I go to prepare a place for you. I come again to receive you to myself. All these wonderful things. But now he's giving them the power. Without this power, this peace is unobtainable. So this is what he does. But now, he gives them the power source for this inner peace. He gives us this power source. Information, doctrine, truth, people, is of no value without the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry. There are a lot of people, boy, you just learn doctrine, learn doctrine, learn doctrine. Doctrine is of no value without the Holy Spirit indwelling you. Information is of no value without the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm sorry to phrase it this way, but biblical doctrine is of no value without the power of the Holy Spirit. That's just a simple truth. There are people who learn scriptures, doctrine, and then they think their way through it. They study it, and then they apply it from their own IQ, their own brains, their own understanding. It's their power. It's their power of positive thinking. Remember the book, Power of Positive Thinking? It's their power of positive thinking. Only that instead of using some how-to book, they're using the Bible and build up all this doctrine. And that sounds wonderful. But people, it's nothing but a system if it's not with the power of God, the Holy Spirit. And these people will study it, apply it from their own brains. It's their own self-discipline. No difference than successful people reading books on how to succeed. And they spend their lifetime reading and going through these things and applying all these principles to their life. This is exactly the way some Christians make a do with the scriptures. They just use it for a wonderful book to promote themselves, to help them through life, and they study and they learn it. They could do the same thing with the Hindu. They could do the same thing with Buddha. They could do the same thing with any person that's written some how-to book. It's all they've done with doctrine, biblical truth. And it's not the power of biblical truth, it's the power of their mind. But the truth is, no one, even the smartest person, can grasp and apply doctrine without the power of the Holy Spirit. Period. That's how it's done. This means that they must know what? How to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They must know how to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, by grace through faith. And if they don't know that, they're doing it in the flesh. And they're very impressed with themselves. But it just doesn't glorify God. Jesus Christ has given them the new commandment, then the disciples, then he has given them pertinent information, then he graciously gives them the Holy Spirit, the power to obey the new commandment, the power to understand and apply the doctrines that he has given, and then to enjoy this peace that comes into us supernaturally. When he leaves them peace, he leaves them the Holy Spirit. That's what he's leaving them. He's not leaving them peace abstract. He's leaving them peace by leaving them the Holy Spirit. So when he leaves them peace, he is leaving them the Holy Spirit. Now, you recall from verse 1 that what we have here in our verse, as well as in verse 1, spiritual love in action. Spiritual love in action. Spiritual love is a force. As a force, it acts. Push, pull, all these wonderful things. Now, I'm going to chance this. What is the first principle or the first thing that we need to know about spiritual love? Spiritual love does what? Spiritual love observes the object of that love. It's that simple. Spiritual love observes. God observed the human race headed for a lake of fire, headed for an eternal relationship separated from him. Then what did he do? He supplied whatever was needed. But before you can supply what is needed, you have to observe. Spiritual love observes the object of its love. Spiritual love observes what is needed and sees a need. Then spiritual love does all that it can do to meet that need, even to laying down his own life. This is what spiritual love will do. This is a spiritual love between a husband and a wife. Spiritual love observes what the very temperament. How did Jesus Christ know they had troubled souls and had fear? All right, one answer would be, well, he's God. He knows all things. But spiritual love can observe. When a mate or someone that you're near all the time and maybe not even know them, but you observe. Bartenders are excellent at this. This is why people like bartenders. Well, what's your problem? Well, what's wrong? What are you upset about? Well, what is that? You can have another drink. And that's the bartender's solution. Yeah. Yeah. He gets some bartender Plato philosophy and then and have another drink along with it. But spiritual love observes. There's something wrong with you. What's wrong? Nothing. Well, I can tell by the answer there's something wrong. And so this is what spiritual love observes and then does what it can to meet the need. Jesus Christ just told the disciples that he's going away and they cannot come with him right now. They had planned. Remember now, they had a lot of plans. They had planned on following him right into the kingdom. He was going to usher in the kingdom. He was going to usher in the millennial kingdom. But now, instead of ruling with him, he's going to leave them alone. Well, people, this causes some uncertainty. It causes a troubled soul. Well, wait a minute. What's going to happen to me? He has not even begun to set up his kingdom. And here he is, he's going to leave. They know he's leaving, but they do not even know where he's going. They do not know why he's going. And most of all, they have no idea of what's going to happen to them. What are they supposed to do now? They're in discomfort. They don't know. You see, they have been walking by sight. They've been following him. They've been following him to Galilee, Samaria, Jerusalem, all these places, people's houses. They've been following him. Walking by sight. But now, he's going to be gone. They're not even going to be able to follow him. That's why he told you can't follow me. You can't come with me now. Well, all of this causes them to have a troubled heart. There is so much to learn about the heart, and the soul, and the mind. But just for tonight, let's move on. This is where we experience trouble. This is where the Holy Spirit instills peace. We have trouble in our souls, in our minds, in our heart, and mind. This is where the Holy Spirit affects peace in the same place. He does it supernaturally. Supernaturally, he brings peace to that troubled heart. In the flesh, the heart is the seat of trouble and fear. In the filling of the Holy Spirit, it is the heart. The heart is the seat of inner peace. So you're either in the power of the flesh, and that's going to be the seat of trouble. You're in the power of the Holy Spirit, it's going to be the seat of peace. Jesus Christ recognizes their troubled heart and fear, and he sends them doctrine, and now he sends them the Holy Spirit to give them this peace. Peace I leave with you. I leave because I'm going. My peace I give to you. Spiritual love is observant. This is what spiritual love does. This is one of the primary principles about spiritual love in action. This should characterize every believer filled with the Holy Spirit. Husband, wife, wife to husband, parent to child, believer to believer, friend to friend, this kind of thing. And maybe even to a stranger. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Now we have the phrase, not as the world gives. Now before we take a look at that, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Any question of what's going on here? He's leaving the earth, and he's going to give them. Going to leave them the Holy Spirit, going to give them the Holy Spirit so they have this peace. Now he adds a phrase, not as the world gives. Okay, how does the world give? Let's take a look at how the world gives. One, by performance. You work for it. You earn it. It's always on a performance basis. And you often have to give up something to have the peace that the world gives. It's purchased at the cost of freedom. Purchase at the cost of freedom. Patrick Henry's speech is peace so dear to be lost at the cost of slavery? And the answer, of course, to most people is no, it isn't. But this is what the world does. Secondly, the world gives promises of peace, world peace, peace programs to end war. Now the problem here is that it's when you have all of this in America, it's directed at America. It's not directed to the rest of the world. It's not directed to the terrorists. It's not directed toward Iran, Iraq, Pakistan, or anywhere else. Just America. Oh, you lay down your arms. That's what you want to do. And that's their ideal of peace. Peace by propaganda. But there is no peace. Let's look at Jeremiah 6. Now, you got to remember, Jeremiah is speaking to a very undisciplined, unfaithful nation of Israel. Jeremiah 6. Jeremiah 6 is a kind of situation you think about in our study in Romans, where if they're unfaithful, will that affect the faithfulness of God? The unfaithfulness of Israel, if they do not believe, as it describes the Jeremiah generation. Let's look at Jeremiah 6, verse 14. Jeremiah 6, 14. And they have healed the wound of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace. But there is no peace. There is no peace. They say it, but there is no peace. It's like our president. Well, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. It's not going to get better. But that sounds good. That sounds very good to people. Look at chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 11. And they heal the brokenness of the daughter of my people superficially. They heal it superficially by saying, all is well, all is well, but there is no peace. Sounds like what we hear today over and over and over. All right, let's look in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's look at verse 3. While they are saying, peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like birth pangs upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. It's not going to be there. It's not going to be the pace, but there's always pieces. There's always the propaganda. Always the propaganda of this peace. So, first of all, you have to earn it from the world. Secondly, the world promises peace that it cannot give. There is no peace in the world. Three, the world tries to give peace through or by religion. It's one of the ace trumps of Satan as far as the world is concerned, and deceiving the world is through religion. Many find peace in rituals. There are people who go to something like a Roman Catholic church, and they feel so at peace. Feel like everything's okay. They're doing the thing with the knees, and they're getting up and doing the thing when he opens a tongue, and he puts a wafer, and he says things they don't even understand what he's saying. It's not even in a language they can understand, but they just feel, this is good. This is good. They just have this peace in here. Everything's okay. And that's the kind of that the world gives. They hear the same thing over and over, and they don't even understand it, but it gives them peace. A form of peace comes by religious legalism. They think they're peace with God because they don't do that. They don't do that. And all this kind of thing. So legalism gives a false sense of peace. And you got to understand a legalist that way. I'm okay with God because I don't do that. Gives them a peace with God. Peace that they do not do certain things. And they think they're peace with God because of what they do, what they don't do. So religion offers great peace, but again, it's empty. 4. How does the world give peace? Artificially. Drugs. Alcohol. But when you sober up, you still have the trouble. You're still fearful. What do they give people? They're so in turmoil and they're never at peace. Here, take this drug. It'll help you. I gotta have my drug. And if they don't have the drug, they're all, boy, there's no peace. No turn. No peace at all. Take that drug. Ah, that's nice. Prescribed by doctors. I'm not talking about the illegal drug people. I'm talking about prescribed by doctors. Here's peace for you. It's in a little capsule. It's in a capsule. I guess it could be in a chocolate cake for some, but nevertheless, it's artificial. And that's how the world gives this type of peace. Okay? 5. The world gives peace through psychological manipulation. It's amazing how many Christians support and go to psychological counseling. Manipulation of the mind. All depending on the flesh nature to self-control, self-discipline. It's not your fault. Just lay down and lay down over on the couch. Sorry, the shrink always has a couch. They want you to just be a peaceful position there. And it's not your fault. It's not your fault. Da-da-da. Just be at peace. Be okay. All this manipulation of the mind, the psychological counseling, which is running rapid in the churches in America. Unbelievable. I hate to use Bible time, and I've got so many things that I'd love to show you on the pastor's conference of not this year but last year. There was a man there that just, boy, he runs this organization out of San Bernardino, California, and it's just amazing, the psychological thing that's just overtaking churches in America. And one day members of his staff got on, they called some of the big well-known churches in denominations and independent and said, do you have a psychological counselor on your staff? And nearly every one of them, yes. Nearly every one of them, yes, we do, or we can recommend you one. And it's just amazing how the churches are going to this to manipulate the mind for peace. Okay, 6. By change of environment. By change of environment. Only you soon discover that you take your trouble with you. You take your trouble heart with you. But if I can just change my environment, if I can just change my husband, if I can just change my wife, if I can just change my dog, if I can just change environment, it'll all be wonderful and I'll have peace. It's superficial because you carry your troubled heart with you. All those type of things just don't work. But they sound so good. Yeah, that's my trouble. If I could change that, that would do it. Having to work for my living, that's my trouble. If I could just change that, become a bum, then I'd have peace. No, you don't. You take that troubled heart with you all the time. 7. The world offers peace by removing the problem. You remove the problem with money, with murder. Removing the problem in some way, but these eventually fall apart and the troubled heart sets in again. It doesn't work to try to remove the problem. The problem's inside our heart. Okay? 8. The world is powerless to give peace. The world is powerless to give peace. Just simply cannot give it. Now, let's ask ourselves the question, why is the world powerless to give peace? Why is the world powerless to give peace? Because, people, it is powerless, hopeless to deal with the fundamental reason for the absence of peace. What is that? What's going on in our soul? What's in our flesh? We have already seen the big five. You are continually being corrupted, deceitful above all else, incurably wounded, full of evil, and insane. Can't cure that. The world can't touch those things. The drugs and the alcohol, all that will calm it down. But when you come off of that, you're right there again. You're right there with all those five things. The world cannot clean and take care of those five things. It is powerless. People, the world cannot offer peace. It's powerless. It can't do it because it cannot handle those five things that make up who and what we are. Only God, Christ, the Holy Spirit can attack and handle these five things. Here is the cause of the absence of peace, and the world has no cure. Let's look at Jeremiah 10. Sure. No problem at all. Okay, first one. Let me see here. Number one, performance. You have to perform to get this the world peace of the world. It never gives anything free. You have to earn it. Two, the world gives promises of peace, world peace, peace programs, end the war, programs that is directed toward the whole environment, but peace, but there is no peace. Three, the world tries to give peace through or by religion. It just doesn't work. Four, the world gives peace artificially. Drugs, alcohol. But when you sober up, come out of it, your heart is still troubled. In fact, it's probably more troubled. Five, the world tries to give peace through psychological manipulation, Christian psychological counseling as far as Christians are concerned. Six, by changing the environment, only you soon to discover you take your troubled heart with you. Seven, removing the problem with money, murder, all these things. Eight, the world is powerless to give peace. Let's look at Jeremiah 10. Okay. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. My goodness. Constantly being corrupted. Constantly being corrupted. Two, deceitful above all else. Three, incurably sick inside. Four, full of evil. And five, insane. And the world is powerless as far as helping any of those. Did you have the passages written down? I didn't write them down this time. Okay, all right. Okay, now let's look at Jeremiah Chapter 10. You got them written down? I know the books, but I don't know the chapter. One, the first one's in Ephesians. The next two are in Jeremiah, I think. I forgot. And then the last one is in, not Ezekiel, but Lamentations, maybe it is. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 10. Get me out of this jam, Jeremiah. All right, Jerry, get me out of this. All right, Jeremiah chapter 10. Let's look at verse 19. Jeremiah 10:19. Woe is me. Now, this is speaking really of the whole nation of Jerusalem. Woe is me because of my injury inside. My wound is incurable. But I said, truly, this is a sickness, and I must bear it. And this is all that the world can offer. Let's look at Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah is an interesting book for hurt and crushed when you've turned against God. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 18. Jeremiah 15, 18. Why has my pain, this is not talking about physical pain, it's talking about in the soul, been perpetual, and my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Wilt thou indeed be to me like a deceptive stream with water that is unreliable? The peace that the world gives is unreliable. Okay, let's look at chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah 30, verse 12. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 12. For thus says the Lord, your wound is incurable, and your injury is serious. It is incurable by the world, by all the things that you do, by going to Egypt, by going to Assyria. It isn't going to work. Your wound is serious spiritually. It is serious spiritually. Then let's look at Hosea 5. Now, whenever you look at Hosea, always remember the context. Hosea is the one whose wife left him. She is playing the prostitute. He goes and buys her from her pimp. All these things are going on with Hosea. Hosea chapter 5. So here's a man that knows pain. 5:13. When Ephraim saw his sickness. Now, you got to remember, he's talking about his wife, but his wife is the condition of Ephraim, Judah, and so when Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to King Jareb, but he is unable to heal you or cure you of your wound, and the wound is inside. So people, please understand, the world cannot solve the problem and give peace, because it cannot solve the problem that brings peace. It cannot take care of what's going on inside of us. Whatever is going to solve it has to be inside of us. That's why drugs works its way chemically. Alcohol works its way chemically to try to affect all of this. But the Holy Spirit works in us spiritually to affect our brain. But peace that Jesus Christ gives through the Holy Spirit is a peace that takes care of the fundamental reason for the absence of the peace. The Holy Spirit goes in and takes care of the incurable condition, takes care of the deceitfulness and all these things, the insanity. Insanity, recall, means divorce from reality. That's why we have troubled soul. We're divorced from reality. This isn't reality because you're a believer in Jesus Christ. This isn't reality. Reality is spiritual. You have to understand that. Once you start understanding that, then you can go, ah, okay, this isn't reality to me. And the things I'm getting troubled over are not reality. Reality to me is who and what I am in Christ, what's going to happen to me when I die, eternity. This is reality, who I am in Christ. So this goes back to our study on stress, anxiety, and depression. So only the Holy Spirit can go in, inside it, because he's inside, and work on our soul and our heart. Pax Romana, the peace of Rome, was a peace that was secured by a mighty and fierce sword. That's how they maintained Pax Romana. But the peace that Jesus Christ gives was secured by his work on the cross. That's the difference. It was secured by his work on the cross. a peace that from God that transcends all understanding. Philippians 4:7. It's a peace that transcends all understanding. The world today, and this is much of the church, some of the church, worships at the shrine of knowledge. Understanding. This solves all the problems. Understand. We could just get everybody to understand. Wouldn't solve it, people. But with God, faith is more powerful than knowledge. It is faith that brings peace of God. I don't understand what you're doing, God. I don't understand what you're doing with my body and this cancer. Don't understand what you're doing in my marriage. Don't understand what you're doing economically to me. All these things. But I trust you. And when you have that kind of faith in the Spirit, it gives you peace. You're not turmoil about it. Don't understand. But boy, when I'm fighting it, trying to prevent it from happening, and trying to understand it, trying to grasp what God is doing, I'm angry at God, all these things, there's no peace. There's no peace. But once we just settle down, I trust you, God. I trust you. Then peace comes in. Not as the world gives. I want to finish this verse. Not as the world gives. Not earned, not artificial, not religion, not by removing the problem, all those things. Not as the world gives. Do I give to you? How does Jesus Christ give? We saw how the world gives. 7 or 8 points. How does Jesus Christ give? 1 point. Through faith. Through grace. Through grace by faith. That's it. That's how he does. Very short. That's why the Abrahamic covenant is very short. The Mosaic law is pages and pages and pages. You're going to do law? Got to have answers for everything. All right? The world gives, you go through all of that. But how does Christ give? By grace, through faith. Let's take a moment and look at the word to give. My peace I give, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Peace that the world gives always costs you something and is artificial. It cannot give peace. Peace that Jesus Christ gives costs you nothing. It is freely, graciously given to everyone by faith in the Spirit. Now, with the giving of peace from the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ adds, let not your heart be troubled. Stated at the beginning of this dissertation, and now concludes with it, nor let it be afraid. First of all, let's look at trouble. Present, active, imperative of terasso. Terasso means to stir up. It means to agitate. Stir up water. You agitate it. So it means to agitate. Stir up the soul. To trouble the soul, the heart. Then comes, this comes with a negative. Let not. Now, what is interesting here, I learned a way of handling the negative is may. Looks like this, M-E. And there's another one, O-U. Okay. Two primary negatives in the Greek. And I've been taught a basic understanding, and I've just always used it. But I decided this time I want to take a look at May. See if a little more we can find out. Let me tell you a few things about May. The negative that we have here. This negative implies a dependent or conditional negative. A dependent negative and or also related to it, it's conditional. Conditional. This one is subjective. This one is objective. This one is subjective because it is dependent on certain things and it is conditioned on certain things. So let's take a look and see if we can understand this negative. This was rich. How many things have I missed by not seeing this simple understanding of the two negatives. And so let's take a look at what we have there. Jesus Christ is saying that this negative, let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. This negative is dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit. This one is conditioned on the power of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit. You're not going to experience this peace without depending on the Holy Spirit, and it's conditioned on the Holy Spirit. You're not going to have it if you don't have the condition of it. That's the Holy Spirit. If you don't depend on the Holy Spirit, if you depend on the world, guess what? It isn't going to be there. If you depend on yourself, guess what? It's not going to be there. It's conditioned and dependent on trusting the one whom He is sending. That is His Holy Spirit. This is powerful. So Jesus Christ now instructs them, let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Present active imperative, the verb meaning to be fear, to be afraid, to cause fear in the soul. And they are dependent upon the Holy Spirit. It's conditioned. You're not going to have it. Let not your heart be troubled is conditioned on the Holy Spirit. If the Holy, you're not filled with the Spirit, it isn't going to be there. Uncertainty of the future, of these disciples' future, and ours in life, of what's going to happen to them. They have, in effect, given up their own life to follow this man Jesus, go into the kingdom, and now He's going to leave them. This is fearful. Fearful of the future. Fearful of what is going to happen historically. No kingdom? What have they been hoping for? Well, it isn't working out. It's all coming to nothing. Was the last 3 years for nothing? They fear for themselves. They fear for all that Jesus has been teaching and prophesying. Fear of what's going to happen to them. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Now, this sounds nice. This sounds very nice. So encouraging. The only problem is, how do I not let my heart be troubled? Many preachers do very good. They'll tell you, do these things, pray, do good, be nice, help people, don't be afraid. They'll even tell you, be filled with the Spirit. They never tell you how. They never tell you how. Go in peace, be peaceful. They never tell you how. Their sermons are wonderful. Until you listen and say, well, how am I supposed to do that? They don't tell you how. How do we do this? How do I not let my heart be troubled? How do I not let it be afraid? That sounds wonderful, and I'd like to do that, preacher, but I don't know how. This peace is experienced and dependent and conditioned upon the filling of the Holy Spirit. This is not an outward peace. He does not change or your outward condition. He affects a change within you through conditioned upon the Holy Spirit. People, all these things that we're studying are dependent, are conditioned on the Holy Spirit. This is the only way you're going to get it. Inner peace, for which there is no reason for this peace, except you are resting by faith in the Holy Spirit. It's the only way you're going to experience this. It's the only way. And, you know, when you experience peace, when everything's going well, it may be the Holy Spirit, it may not. I'm not really sure. I'm on my honeymoon. I'm not really sure if this is the Holy Spirit or just the circumstances, see? But boy, when everything around you is falling apart, everything around you is wrong economically, in your financial life, maybe physically in your physical life, all these things, and yet you're walking by faith in the Spirit and you're experiencing His peace, then you know where it comes from. You know, this is of God. This is not of me. This is not of circumstances. By faith in the one He sends, the one He leaves, the one He gives. By faith in the Holy Spirit. Trusting the Spirit just as they what? Trusted Him. They followed Him. They were at peace. Hey, okay, let's go. We'll follow Him. Even doubting Thomas, he said, okay, let's go to Jerusalem. We're going to die. But okay, let's go to Jerusalem. That was fine with them. They've been walking by sight. Can we walk by faith in that same way, following the Holy Spirit? So let's see what Jesus Christ is doing in closing. One, He is preparing a place for us to reside in eternity. Verses 2 and 3. 2, he will answer our prayers, verse 14. 3, he is sending another Parakletos to be with us forever and to give us peace and joy and love, but we're dealing with peace here. Jesus Christ is doing what? He is taking care of eternity, which is just so wonderful to have that taken care of, and he's taking care of the present. This is thoughtful love, people. I mean, if we weren't sure about eternity, man, I don't know about you, but I'd be a nervous wreck. You know, did I lose it today? And did I sin in a big way? How did it? I'd just have to give it up and go live in a bottle. Because you just never know. But he's taking care of eternity. So be peaceful. Let not your heart be troubled. He's taking care of the present with the Holy Spirit. Let not your heart be troubled. Now, the emphasis of this peace is that he will not be with them. In spite of the absence of Jesus Christ, they can still have this peace. Let's look at verse 28. You heard that I said to you, I go away. Now stay in context. Want you to let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said, I go away. Oh, there he goes again, talking about that. Here comes the anxiety now. Here comes my fear back. And I will come to you. Okay, I'm not sure about that, but okay. If you love me, you would have rejoiced, because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I use this at my funeral services. It's just a powerful phrase that if you really love this person that has died and gone, if you really love them, you would rejoice. If they're believers, and that's the only time I use it, you'd have rejoiced. They're with heaven, in heaven with the Lord. That's something to rejoice about. Feel sorry for the rest of us that have to stay here. So he's kind of going back, but just stay in the context of this whole flow. So we'll pick it up here, verse 28, and going through it. This is powerful stuff. The peace and how he gives it, he leaves it with him, because I'm going away. I give it to you graciously in the Holy Spirit. And so many wonderful things in verse 27. I think 27 is just a powerful verse. And 28 is as the aspect that is so powerful, especially in dealing with death of someone you love that's a believer. All right, any questions? Okay, let's close in prayer. Wow. Two nights in a row, you've just astounded us, Father. Last night, you gave us the game plan for the final conflict before the millennium. And tonight, Heavenly Father, you give us a game plan on how to live each day of our life without a troubled soul, without fear. The power of your Spirit is given to us, just freely given to us. And through him we have this peace and absence of troubled soul. Father, we just amazed at the God you are. We get so nervous and fearful about things in our life. What if this happens? And what if this happens? And sometimes it does happen, and we're fearful. And if we just step back, rest in your Spirit. Rest in the fact that you're in control. All these wonderful teachings that Christ has done here. A peace comes over us. Supernatural. You haven't changed one thing in our environment. You changed inside of us. This is a powerful God you are. This is the love that you are. Father, we praise you. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for his love that sent us the Spirit. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. What courage we can live each day, regardless of what happens. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.